Feel like I'm in a jet plane. How are we doing, Rob? We're trying to figure out if we can podcast this. Was it coming through? Okay. I'm Wendell. I'm learning what it means to have God love me. I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse and addiction to work and food and control. I've had issues with pornography and with alcohol and with rage and with depression and with panic attacks. You name it, I've been there. So we're talking it's kind of, we had a lot of fun last week. I think it was almost illegal. It was on the verge of illegal, just that far away. We had too much fun with our lesson. But we're going to do the same thing tonight. If you, whatever you say, just holler it out, and maybe these mics will pick it up. And if they don't, then I'll repeat it, and it'll go on the podcast. So we're talking about, what do you do at Christmas time? What do you do during the holidays when you have to get together with extended family? You have to get together with people you've avoided all year. You know, you know that when you get with them, there's toxicity. You know that there's button pushers, and you know there's bullies, and you know there's deceivers, and you know there's, you know. And I'm not saying all family members are bad, but all extended family gatherings, well, maybe not all, but a lot of extended family gatherings are a really rough time. I mean, the holidays, there's more alcohol consumed, more drugs taken, and more suicides committed, you know, during the holidays, because it's emotionally taxing. It is rough. You visit or revisit relationships and encounters and conversations and memories that you have been able to squash the rest of the year. You've not had to deal with them. And so if we're going to be a recovery family, if we're going to sit and get honest about our stuff, this is something that we have to deal with. Let's not put a little fake smile on it and say, oh, I get to go home for Christmas. Because if I was to be honest, I would say, if I was going home to my family of origin, my sister will bear witness to this. For those of you who are new, that's my blood sister over there. She's not my just my spiritual sister. We grew up in the same dysfunctional. But if I was to be honest and I was to say, oh, we get to go home for Christmas, I would say, we got to go home for Christmas. That's the way I'd say it. I wouldn't be all, you know, happy and giggly about it, because it would be rough. It would take an emotional toll on me, and it would especially on my wife, to go to my family's for Christmas. And that's sad, you know? That is just sad. But you don't recover by glossing over sad things with, you know, giggles and, oh, it's okay. You have to get honest about it. You have to talk about the real stuff that we deal with if you're going to get any better. So that's what we're talking about. So supposing that you have a degree of recovery. You've been in recovery for a while. You're finding your footing. You're starting to find a new way of looking at life. And you're getting a certain degree of emotional stability. You're starting to look in the mirror and not hate what you see, you know. And you're starting to be able to cope much better with life. And so you go home as your extended family. You go home for Christmas, and you suddenly find yourself as the odd person out. They're still fighting and throwing things. They're still deceiving. They're still jockeying for position. They're still posing, you know, and faking everybody out. They're still doing all the same stuff they always did. And you show up and you think, I don't do this anymore. You know, this is not the life I live anymore. I'd rather live in reality and live with a certain degree of honesty. So what do I do? The old cliches, hurt people hurt people. That's a true cliche. The reason it stuck around is because it's true. Hurt people hurt people. Well, the other side of that is healed people heal people. So you find yourself in your extended family situation, and now all of a sudden you're not a hurt person trying to hurt. You're a person who's being healed, who would like to bring some healing. So how do I do that at this family gathering? I think it's important to say one thing before we go any further in this lesson. I'm making a confession here. I was what they'd call an evangelical Christian for years and years. Was a pastor of an evangelical church and toted the company line, preached the company line. And in so doing, one of the elements that went with this was this feeling of spiritual superiority. I'm better than you. I know more than you. I'm a better quality person. It took a pretty serious body slam for me to kind of wake up from that and realize I'm not the shit. You know, I'm not. And sorry, but I had to say it that way. And I realized I'm not. And I realized who I really was. You know, the reality of who I really was. But I got to make a confession. I've been in recovery for about 12 years. And if I'm not careful, I start to look at the recovery community as the elite community. I've got recovery, and you don't. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm right back where I was. It's the same old stuff, you know. And so I discovered this probably 6-8 months ago. I thought, dude, this is happening again. The same little demon sneaking up, this little same little fake thing in my head that tells me I'm better than somebody else. And so I've got to listen to the voice of reality and realize that's not the case. That's not the case. None of us are any better than anybody else. We're just in a better place. We're not any better. We're just in a better place. And if we just read the 12 step, it's not because of something we did. It's because we admitted we were powerless. We admitted what we can't do. And only when you admit what you can't do can you get any better. So, or get to a better place. So when we go home with our families, we're not any better than anybody else. We're just at a little healthier position in life. So I think it's important for me to look at that. I don't know if you struggle with that, but it's important for me to look at that. So here's where we are. We're going home for the holidays. We're experiencing some health. And the reason we are is because, let's just look at why we're in a little better place. We're in recovery, you discover who you are. That's the first thing. You begin to get a realistic view of who you really are. You start to realize that a lot of what people told you growing up about yourself was a lie. The way they treated you, if you were abused, if you were abandoned, whatever happened to you, you know, sexually abused, physically, emotionally abused, whatever, those are all lies told to you. This is the kind of person you are. You are not worthy of respect. You are not worth anything. You're not worthy of any kind of affirmation. You're a bad person. You get in recovery and you begin to realize those were lies. Those are not true. I have worth. I am worthy of respect, and I'm worthy of affection. I'm worthy of positive attention. I am worth something. So you, part of what getting better or getting to a better place is discovering the truth about yourself, which to a large part means dispelling the lies that were told to you about yourself. So you have to learn to distinguish between the truth and lie. Same thing comes with God. I was taught a lot of BS about God when I was young. A lot. And so I had to come to the place where I, and excuse me if this offends you, I had to come to the place where I absolutely hated God. I cussed him out. And just like, F you, you know, I had to, I wasn't playing. I was real. I didn't want him in my life. I didn't want him anywhere around me. And so I had to just get to that place where I told him what I felt about him from deep down. I mean, it welled up from way down deep. And I still got that little red truck. I've told a lot of y'all this story. But it was in a little red truck I still drive. And I yelled at him, and I was flipping him off, and I was screaming at him. And so thinking that was like the end of it. Okay, this is the end of it. It's over. He's going to leave me alone. I'm not going to have to think about him anymore. I can move on with my life. God free, you know, and everything's going to be okay. Well, really what was happening there is I was divorcing all the lies that had been told me about God. I was divorcing myself from those lies and separating myself. I didn't know that's what was going on, but in the end, that's really what was happening. And the God that I had been lied to about wasn't worth worshiping or following or being friends with anyway. Why would you want to follow that God? Why would you have any affection or belief or anything in that God? So I had to get rid of that God. I had to undiscover that God before I could discover. And I'm just getting started with that. So I'm not going to even try to tell you what I've discovered about God because I don't know. I know that he loves me. And that's about all I know. You know, as far as, give me some details on that. Can you flesh that out? I can hit that microphone. Give me some details. You know, I think, I know he loves me. It's about as far as I can go. And right now, that's good enough. So, it's part of discovering, and part of finding health is discovering who you are and who God is. But a large part of that is undiscovering or dispelling the lies that we've been fed about these kind of things. So how is it that we're going to fit in with these hurting people that we're going to be part of at Christmas time? Now, here's where, let's not talk details here unless you just want to. But I have found that my recovery has caused a number of paradigm shifts in me. Enormous paradigm shifts in me. It has radically shifted my political thinking. I don't know if you find this with your family. You get together with your family and all of a sudden you can't talk politics anymore because your politics have changed. When I got into recovery, that changed. It's caused me to really re-examine who God is, and they want to talk about God in that old religious way, that old heavy-handed, judgmental, legalistic way, and I can't track with that. And you know, well, what do you think God thinks about this? And what do you think God thinks about that? And they don't want to hear what I have to say, because what I have to say is going to make them very angry and, you know, very judgmental and legalistic. And I'm thinking, so it's given me much more realistic expectations. Remember what we talked about last week, that barking dogs bark? Remember that? That just fits with me. That when I go home to be with my family, if somebody is always trying to be a bully, that's what I expect them to be. If somebody is trying to brag and be deceptive and, you know, puff and strut, you know, that's what I expect them to do. If somebody's going to be a liar, that's what I expect them to do. So my expectations, that's just what they do. So I have more realistic expectations. Recovery is kind of quieting my screaming ego. I don't need to be stroked and affirmed and noticed all the time. Recovery has made me very aware of my codependency. And if you're new, you're thinking, okay, what is that? You pulled that card out. What does that card mean? You have to keep climbing back because codependency leaks into everything that we talk about. But it's made me aware of my codependency. So this is where the invitation is open. If you want to talk at all, just yell it out. Have you had various paradigm shifts? I didn't tell you how I shifted. I did in some of them, but I told you, like, I didn't tell you where I went politically. I'll tell you privately if you want to know. But I don't want to start a... I ain't doing that. Not going there. But has anybody else, would you weigh in on that and say, yeah, I've had some paradigm shifts. What are they? Good. Ooh. Oh, wow. And the other one is the controller that wants everything. So you know what to expect.
I know exactly what to expect. And they really do too. But they don't, they say, maybe you should really just duke it out with them.
Yes. That moment.
That moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like, oh, if I don't see mom again, I'll see him. No. It's this moment.
Good word. What else? Paradigm shifts. Yeah. You might want to unpack that a little bit. Did you hear what she said? I don't take their abuse personally. That's one of the toughest ones for me. Is I take it personally. And if you pass somebody on the street and they said the same thing to you, wouldn't mean the same thing. But a family member, it's a little different. When have I ever abused you? So that it'd make her wet the bed. So you play with matches, you wet the bed. I knew how to get her in trouble. I don't even know how that works. Well, she was such a perfect child, she never got in trouble. So I had to figure out some way to get her in trouble. So, there. Did you have one, Joellen? You were, okay. You're shaking your head. Oh, okay. Anybody else want to jump in on this? This is some good stuff. This is a rabbit trail. Not that we ever go down rabbit trails. Never do we go down rabbit trails. But the further I've gotten into recovery, the more I've discovered that when a person is abusive, it doesn't really is saying very little about you. It's saying a whole lot about them. And them being abusive really gives you an insight into them, but it doesn't speak directly to your worth at all. You know, because barking dogs bark. That's what they do. But that gives you a picture into their soul, what makes them tick. If you're a healthy, it's hard to imagine getting up in the morning and saying, what am I going to do today? I think I'm going to hurt somebody. So when somebody does that, it's like, how do you do that? So I think it's confusing and you do take it personally, but you have to come to the place to think it would suck to be them. You know, and somehow, yeah. Anything else before we get off this point? We got one more thing we want to say. And then anybody got another paradigm shift? Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. 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 And the scary part is there are still things that I do and say that I don't know that I do and say. And I think, oh, somebody please tell me I got a big piece of broccoli in my tooth or whatever, you know. Tell me, you know, because I, yeah. Okay, so let's get on to the third point. So here we are going to be with our extended families. Let's get back to where we're talking about. We're going back to be with them for the holidays. And we're going back with a certain degree of healing. We're not healed, but we're being healed. And we kind of get it. That being healed involves being honest, bring the real version of yourself, and letting people love you in that version. That's the core of being healed. Get honest and let people love you, the real you. That's recovery. If, in case you didn't know, that's it in a core. Get real, be loved. Get real, be loved. That's the core. So we're being healed. We're making discoveries about ourselves, about life, about other people, about God. And we're realizing that a lot of our paradigms are shifting, that we're viewing life differently, politically, theologically, socially, just so many ways. So what are we going to do with this awareness? We've discovered all this stuff, and we are discovering all this stuff. So what are we going to do with this awareness? And to me, the first thing I thought is that when I get with my family, I see things for what they are instead of how they make me feel. Think about that for a minute. When you get with your extended family, you see things for what they are instead of how they make me feel. You got to deal with your feelings. There's no question about that. You got to deal with your feelings. But if you have this awareness that that person is going to be a bully, that person is going to be deceptive, that person is going to be a manipulator, whatever, you're you've got an awareness of yourself, I don't find my worth in the way they mistreat me. You see what I'm saying? We have these awarenesses so that when we go in there, we see it for what it is instead of how it makes, I'm just so hurt. That ruins your whole weekend. You sit around and just feel your pulse about, I'm so hurt. I'm so disappointed. Nobody likes me. Nobody's paying attention to me. No, I'm not getting what I want out of this. I'm not. The whole weekend's shot because the whole weekend is about how I feel. You're going to have feelings. There's no question about that. But it helps a whole lot to see it for what it really is, to just see it in reality. See the people, see why they do what they do, see the whole thing in reality. I think another thing that helps me is to look for any little change you can in the other person. You know what? If they've made some tiny steps, buddy, celebrate that. If you see it, celebrate it. And I think we don't do this. No, you're not as far along as I am. You don't see things the way I do yet, so, you know. But instead say, wow, they have matured. They have become more generous. They have become more honest. They have become more, you put it in the slot. You put the word in there. So you see that there's progress, and so you celebrate that. Obviously, in an appropriate way. You used to be a real ass, and now you're a real nice person. I mean, that's probably not going to work. But instead, you know, you can find some nice way to say, "Wow, you're in a good place. I can tell." Or, you know, I don't know. You make it up. But I think it's important to look for anything you can in another person that you can celebrate, and then if you can, invite them to explore that. Invite them into some sort of conversation about that. You seem to have changed some. You know, you used to really kind of do this or go here, and now you're going here. How'd you get here? What happened? With family, a lot of times you can talk about stuff like that. Sometimes you can't. But just invite them to explore it and talk about it. And here's the last thing, and this really hits me. Do you have somebody in your extended family? And it may be a young person. It may be a child. But do you have somebody in your family who always kind of just gets the crumbs in the conversation? They just kind of sit in the corner and they're quiet, and they kind of get walked on, they kind of get ignored, they have to do all the heavy lifting and get hardly any appreciation. You know what I'm talking about? It's funny the change on your face when I start talking about this. I don't think we like to think about this. I don't think we like to go there. But we have people in our families who are the least of these, you know. If you want to put it this way, they're at the bottom of the food chain. They're at the bottom of the pecking order. And I think of all times during the holidays, those people need some loving. They need some attention. They need some affirmation. They need some, you know. And I've been thinking about our family get together when we're going to have our kids all over for Christmas Eve. And I'm thinking, who would be the least of these in our gathering? And how could you show love and grace and kindness and attention and affection and adoration to the least of these? Because it could very well be that life is screaming to them, you are worthless. And for you to speak into their lives and say, no, you're worth a lot. I've shared with you about my grandfather, my dad's dad. I think he saw what was going on between my dad and me. I think he saw that pretty quick. And for those of you who are new, my dad was pretty abusive to me. He wasn't to the daughters in the family. He was some, but he was to me. But my grandfather, I think saw that early on. And whenever we would go home for Christmas, whenever we'd go to the Catskill Mountains in Windham, New York, to that old home place, and I'd walk in, my grandfather would make sure that I knew he adored me. He would take me to the roll-top desk that we still have at our house. Sorry, y'all. Didn't know that was covered. We still have that roll-top. He would take me to the roll-top desk. He'd pull out a little old jar, and he'd let me dip in and get some Indian head pennies. Or he'd let me have a silver dollar. Or he'd let, you know, and we still have that roll-top. It's been passed down. I've got it now. But he saw that. He saw that I was one of the least of these. At least the way my dad treated me. And he said, not here, you're not one of the least of these. And so I wasn't with my grandfather that many times throughout my life. Didn't spend, you know, a whole lot of time with him. But when I was with him, I knew that I was not one of the least of these. I knew that he put worth in me. And I'm crying like a little baby up here. That obviously has made a huge difference in my life down through the years. So you never know. Find the least of these and love on them, and you never know what kind of investment you're making. Because healed people heal people. That's a good place to start, with the least of these. All right, we're going to do, we have to do this song at the end. So if nothing else, you go home for the holidays to your extended family, and it is like a sharp poke in the eye. After all we've said, you know what? Let it be.